Guys, my name is Jim. My divorce was final in 2009. On my first night to divorce care, I arrived early and was unexpectedly slammed with the word divorce on the title slide. I wept like a baby. I never thought I would be here. I'm glad I had a few minutes alone, and at that point in time in my life, I was really good at being alone. What I'd like to do, first I want to tell you a little bit about where I was emotionally and spiritually during that divorce, and then I want to share with you four things that I had to accept in order for me to heal well. So, first, my part in the abolition of my marriage was living in an emotional and spiritual isolation. It came from a deep-seated fear and anxiety and anger that produced a heart and mind that strove to control and manipulate all that was around me. I believed that if I can control all the processes in my life, then I could control the outcome. Totally destructive. Also, I attempted to use the shallow and empty comfort of pornography to feel better. Absolutely stupid. In my relationships with family and others, there was a ruthless but passive-aggressive competitor inside that could not lose. Losing or failure meant being insignificant and worthless. So as a result, I participated in snuffing the life out of my marriage and created an emotional distance from my four children. And simply put, I failed to nurture my wife and my kids the way God intended. I lived with my emotional bags packed, ready to flee, thinking with full conviction that if I was truly known, all around me would reject me. I was a pickin' mess. It's been 8 years. I still weep occasionally over loss of dreams and what could have been. The occasional tsunami of emotion is still intense, but I'm certain that it is an important part of healing. I'm convinced that I can get through this season. I can heal by learning to accept four things, and these four things I want to share with you tonight. First, I had to accept that I needed to heal, not just feel better. Grieving and mourning the loss is a huge part of my healing. I was challenged personally and individually to study the Ten Commandments found in James chapter 4, 7 through 10. The first, submit to the Lord. Second, resist the devil, draw near to God. The next two commands, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your heart, you double-minded. And then the next four commands, mourn, be miserable, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. So mourning, weeping, pain, melancholy, and grief is a crucial part of this process. It's taken a little bit longer than I thought. But the value of their importance in my healing is absolutely crucial. But there's still a steady tension to strive to feel better. I know that if I could just feel better, then all this will be over with, right? I will be healed. How pitifully naive or sadly entitled that is. I remember thinking during the darkest days, things would be so much better if I could medicate the pain or change my job or move somewhere new, find a new relationship. But nothing could have been further from the truth. Feeling better is the result. It's not the process. I really thought that moving through the pain of divorce as quickly as possible, however I could, would be the best thing. But you know what? I just needed to grieve and grieve well. And by the way, there's no timetable on grief. No one can say, okay, time to stop grieving, let it go, move on. Only God can do that. And you'll know it when it happens. And you will see that in the last of the Ten Commands in James chapter 4. So the first thing I had to accept is I needed to heal, not just feel better. Secondly, accept that my relationship with Christ is the only thing that could truly heal me. I put demands on my marriage, guys, that God never intended. Make me feel better. Make me feel significant. Make me happy. Give me worth. Give me purpose. Increase my self-esteem. Meet my needs, etc., etc. I felt most significant when I had something or someone to fix. In fact, to my shame, I felt most happy when my wife was most miserable. Her happiness meant I was not needed. I took responsibility also to feel better from the fear of failure and anger that drove me. I pursued the hollow comfort of pornography. I overate, controlled every environment that I walked into, every relationship and process I was in, because I believe I could control the processes and I could control the outcome. Pretty sick. Significantly, I had to change my thinking in order to heal, kind of like what Paul says, we are changed by the renewing of our mind. Simply put, I was not abiding in Christ, and so I was not thinking and feeling as he would have me. Jesus said, "Abide in me, as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine," he says, "you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." John 15. My worth, my value, my esteem needs to be found in Christ, seeing myself as he sees me. If I can accept that, then I can start to heal. So I need to heal, not just feel better. I need to see that Christ is the one that can heal me. Thirdly, accepting God's heart for reconciliation. Where have I been going for the last 8 years since my divorce? I really do believe I understand God's heart correctly, that he does not hate me, the divorcee, but the act of divorce is what God hates and the impact that it has on those he loves. My challenge going forward is embracing what God says in 2 Corinthians 5. Quote, "All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. That ministry of reconciliation is as important in my earthly relationships as it is in my spiritual ones as well. Currently, I am in the healing process of reconciling a friendship with my ex-wife. As Lonnie said, I just got back 2 weekends ago from visiting her, and for the 8th year in a row, asking her to contemplate reconciliation. I've made amends with her and to each of my kids. It's been a healthy process. Reconciliation is a healthy process. I'm currently a coach, a leader in a recovery ministry at Watermark called Regeneration, so that I can continue to pursue self-awareness and dependence on Christ. And all of this is done in a community group of believers that know me and love me. Oh, and they will wound me when necessary. As Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." I have those kinds of friends. So the last thing I needed to accept, number 4, that God holds the future. I don't. This was a toughie. You see, my significance was wrapped up in being married and having 4 compliant kids. And oh yeah, the dog. Losing that was losing everything, I thought. I learned to believe in my heart and mind that God was going to redeem this painful situation for his glory. But I confess, I did not and do not know clearly what that redemption process looks like. It may not and probably should not look like it was before. But I'm all in. 8 years later, I'm still all in. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. God will use my failure for his glory." Jeremiah writes, "I went to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel, and the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand." And that word spoiled means broken, putrid. It's a pretty tough word. It was spoiled in the potter's hand. So he remade it into another vessel. He remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. And then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and it said, can I not deal with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in mine. God is in the business of redeeming and remaking lives. There was a tremendous amount of encouragement in my heart when I embraced that truth. But at times, I regress and desperately pray for God to join in on what I think is best, right? I claim Jeremiah 29:11. Who hasn't? For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. But this is what I was praying. I didn't know it at the time, but this is what I was praying. Oh God, I know the plans that I have for me, plans for my future, my hope. Please bless them. That's what I was really praying. How presumptuous is that? Guys, God wants to heal us in His time. His time. There are things I must accept, things that I must begin to see clearly. There's a familiar nursery rhyme I've added that helps me understand what God does. It may ring familiar. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But God can. But God never promises to put Humpty Dumpty back on the wall. My future will look different. It will not be what it was, and I praise God for that. It can be better. Whether it be a reconciled marriage, it will be a new marriage. It'll be a better marriage. Or whether it be being content to be single. My future is going to be better. Don't you love Isaiah 57, where God says, I dwell in a high and a holy place, and also with the contrite and the lowly of spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. God is for me. God is for you. And He wants to bless you. In summary, I say with full conviction that I would not be doing well in recovery apart from abiding with Christ in the context of community. I'm beginning to consistently accept that I need to heal and not just get past the pain. That my relationship with Christ is the only thing that can truly heal me. That God's heart is for reconciliation. And fourthly, that God holds the future, and I don't. So our hope is for healing is in Christ. St. Augustine's words encouraged me as he reflected on his own journey through sexual addiction. He said, how sweet all at once it was to be rid of those fruitless joys which I once feared to lose. You, Jesus, drove them from me. You who are true, my sovereign joy, you, Jesus, drove them from me and you took their place. You who are sweeter than all pleasure. There's hope, my dear brothers and sisters. May God bless you in this precious and painful season of life. All things in our lives, the good or the pain, will drive us to Him. Praise God. Thank you.